Our bodies are the most important tools in our lives. How we physically feel affects our mood, productivity, and even our relationships. So why do so many people have a distorted idea of how to care for their bodies? Hello, this is Sam, and you're listening to another episode of Supernormal. We've discussed so many aspects of body positivity and self-love here in past episodes. Your idea of your body can be shaped by commercial marketing tactics, experiences from childhood, or one comment from an ex that weaseled its way into manifestation. But how many of us are willing to do the actual research to find what works best for our bodies, instead of following trends or Pinterest recipes for the latest diet craze? How can we actually find the truth beyond the marketing? For this week's guest, it took a lot of soul searching and time recovering for her to find the best version of herself. Everyone needs an outlet, and for Megan, that's bodybuilding.
My name is Megan Humble. I work full-time. I have a typical 9-to-5 job. Unfortunately, the way that we're kind of bred from the beginning in society is like, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job, and then you work 40, 50, 60 years, a 9-to-5 or even longer. Like, I know a lot of people work a lot more than 40 hours a week at their job. And then eventually you can retire, and hopefully by the time that we retire, you can collect Social Security. To me, that's just not the way to live. So not the lifestyle that I want. And that's not the lifestyle that I ever want to impress upon my future children. Because it's really not realistic. How many people I know who I graduated with, they don't have jobs. There is no security in typical corporate America. What I'm super passionate about and what I'm excited about and what kind of like sets my soul on fire, which if you follow my social media, you will see I use that phrase a lot, is a business that I started to develop for myself outside of my job and my hobbies, which are bodybuilding and personal training. And even though I get paid for personal training, I do it for the joy and for the pleasure of the fact that I get to help other people achieve their goals. It's about doing the right thing. It's about helping somebody else out. For me, life is really all about, it's all about putting people before profit. And I just want to be that channel for them to do that. You know, being able to help people achieve their goals, it goes far outside of the typical corporate 9-to-5. You know, I can't do that at my desk.
Right.
I have to be like out there in the world, talking to people, communicating with people, getting to know other people. So that's really what I'm excited about and what really like sets my soul on fire is being out there helping others and just being a good person, you know, being a good, decent human being.
So what made you decide to do that through bodybuilding? And how did you get involved in bodybuilding? Because I want to immediately discuss the fact that, yes, you are a female bodybuilder. So what does that mean to you?
So for me, it's actually kind of funny how I got started in bodybuilding. A lot of people, I think, just assume that I wanted to lose weight and just said, hey, let me do this bikini bodybuilding competition, but that is so not my story. My story really is one of overcoming. Some people are aware, but not everybody is aware that I'm actually in recovery for an eating disorder, and it took a lot of convincing of my healthcare providers and my family to not only support me in bodybuilding, but actually let me do it. Like, I had to fight for it, and I had to do that pretty much. And that's where, like, the grit and the grind and the passion come in. I worked really, really hard, and I was working out a lot. And one of the guys at my gym was like, hey, you should totally do a bodybuilding show. And I was like, I don't know about that. And I said, you know what? I think he's right. I think I should do it. You know, I eventually got their support, and I did it anyway. It has been such a gift for me. It really has. It's been, like, such a blessing. You know, I've learned to overcome a lot of hard things through it because it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of preparation. I am my coach. I am my own trainer. I do have a clothing coach, because that's really important to have. But otherwise, you know, I do the whole thing nuts myself. Through that, I've been able to use social media channels, mostly Instagram, to kind of show what my journey has been. And hopefully, and I know that it's happened because people have reached out to me, inspired other people to do things that they didn't think that they could do, or saw my growth and saw my transformation from being 100 pounds at 5'8", which is very, very thin for someone who's 5'8", to being 125, and I'm pretty much all muscle, which takes time to build and it's dedication. But being able to show my journey influenced other people to pursue their journey, and it's such a blessing to be a part of that.
There's definitely a specific mindset and a rubric of sorts you have to follow while you're bodybuilding. And there's structure and there's regimen and there's scheduling. How much of that is something that you think is necessary for somebody who is recovered or recovering from an eating disorder?
I think it's all necessary. I mean, whether you're recovering from an eating disorder or not, it started with like the bodybuilding is competitive and you got to have that mindset, that go-getter, like grit and grind, day in, day out mindset. But for me, it doesn't just stop with the bodybuilding. It transferred into my entire life. I'm not just like that when it comes to hitting the gym and my diet. I'm like that in every single aspect of my life now, because it's just the way that I'm programmed. It's the way that my mind has transformed. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know, and I wasn't always that way. And bodybuilding gave me the confidence to be that person. Because a lot of it was fear-based. A lot of it was, I don't feel good enough, or I'm not perfect enough, or I don't have what it takes to do X, Y, and Z. Building that confidence in myself physically, where I was comfortable and had enough belief in who I was to transfer that into the rest of my life, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I'm not doing it currently, although yesterday was my first day back to the gym in probably 3 months. I'm having some health issues that I kind of had to stop for a while, and I'm sure you know that if you were forced to stop, it's really hard on your mental health to stop doing the thing that makes you so happy and helps you get up and really gives you a little bit more purpose in your life. And it's also a really fantastic outlet for you to get out your anger or your stresses. I wonder, as being somebody who is a female and has gone to the gym, when I was lifting, I one day had somebody come over and actually take a weight off of my machine because they thought that they were like helping me. And they took a 40-pound plate off of my leg press, and I was like, no, honey, it's okay. You can leave it there.
Yeah.
So I want to know if you've ever had an instance like that where somebody underestimated you and you were like, no, boo-boo, you can back up and watch me do it.
I have been underestimated a handful of times. I'll be honest, I'm a beast in the gym. Like, I'm really a beast in the gym. I have people that come up to me and are like, I get tired just watching you. But in a good way, because like you said, like, it's an outlet. I've been in about 5, maybe 6 different treatment centers and hospitalizations due to my addiction, anorexia. I wasn't allowed to even walk. I spent weeks at a time on bed rest. So for me to be able to have this back into my life is amazing. So when people come up to me at the gym, I was leg pressing the other day, and some guy had come up, and he was like, do you need help taking the plates off? I'm like, no, I just did...
Right.
That's a 12, like at 380. Do you think I need help carrying a 45-pound plate? Like, I don't think so, you know? And it goes back to having that confidence as a woman and confidence in who you are. Because if you don't have that kind of a confidence, then, you know, you're kind of shot in an environment like that. Because you got to be able to stand up and speak for yourself and say, no, I'm a strong, independent woman. I got this. I don't need a man or anybody else to come and clean up my mess.
I don't know what your dating life is or your social life is. For me, when I first started lifting, I started lifting after, it wasn't a bad breakup, but it was a breakup, you know, and all breakups are a transition. And he had treated me pretty poorly, and I, you know, wanted to reclaim my power and kind of reclaim, like, I don't fucking need anybody. I can do whatever the fuck I want. And if you piss me off, I'll kick your fucking ass. So that was something that was, like, really important to me. And when I got back into the dating scene, I think it transformed my mind where I was like, oh, I realized all of these things that I didn't really realize before. Guys were being overtly masculine to me in, like, a very toxic way as flirting. And I'm like, no, try a little bit harder. Be a little bit more unique. Be a bit more creative when you're trying to pick me up, because I'm a fucking 10 and I am in no need of you. You're an accessory. So I don't know if you have, like, a mindset that transformed once you started working out.
I definitely did. I mean, when I first started taking it seriously and really training, I was in a relationship. I recently broke up with my ex a couple of months ago. You know, my mindset as far as relationship goes and how a man treats me or how a guy tries to pick me up, I have fucking standards today. And I am not willing to settle for anything less than I deserve. Because for a while I did settle, and that wasn't anybody's fault. It was the fact that I didn't believe that I was worth more. You know, but today I know that I'm worth hell of a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I'm not willing to settle for anything. The fact is that, like you, I'm a strong, independent woman, and I deserve to be treated that way. We all do. You know, we all deserve to be treated with respect and love. I mean, even like friendships, you know, I expect to be treated with respect, and I won't take anything less than that.
Do you feel like now you intimidate men?
Oh, I definitely do.
Do you kind of slightly enjoy that? Because I would.
I do. You know what? It's kind of funny because I've always been told by my guy friends, like, yo, the reason that guys don't approach you, like, you don't have a boyfriend. And I was single for a long time, is because you're intimidating. And I'm like, how am I intimidating? I'm so nice. But they were like, no, but you're beautiful and you carry yourself with a lot of confidence. And that's intimidating for a man. So today, now that, you know, I walk in the gym and I'm probably squatting and leg pressing and deadlifting more weight than half the guys in there, like, I'm definitely intimidating to people. And honestly, I kind of, like you said, I kind of dig it. A little bit, I kind of dig it. Because it's like, I don't know. It's almost like that, hey, you can't knock me type of a thing, I guess.
I think it's partially protection. You know, like, knowing that if something ever happened, you could defend yourself, as well as, like, I think as women, we constantly are in this power struggle, even when we don't want to be. And it's always like asserting our place in a relationship, at work, in education, whatever it might be. You have to make people understand that you belong, as opposed to just showing up and automatically getting that right. So I think the fact that you can be like, hey, by the way, while you're disrespecting me, why don't you come over here and let me leg press you into the wall and just throw you across the room with my thighs? That's kind of powerful. And we get to reclaim that power, whether it's physically, mentally, or, you know, socially. I think that being able to see it tangibly is where you get the best feeling in results.
Oh, without a doubt. And it does kind of go back to that female-male power struggle. Mm-hmm. Because it's, I mean, it's only within the last couple of years that, you know, women have had a more secure place in the work environment. You know, we were always told that we had to be the stay-at-home mom, the homemaker, but I'm no homemaker. Like, right. I'm just not, you know, and I have to, we all kind of have to continue, unfortunately, to prove that. At the end of the day, it really is a good feeling when you kind of can prove that to a man.
Hey y'all, I want to take a quick break to dedicate this episode to Rhett from the podcast Brain Trust Bros. Rhett shouted me out in this week's episode of Brain Trust Bros, and I'm so grateful for the love. Rhett and I met through the Podcast Builders League on Facebook, so it's always amazing for fellow pod fam to show their support. You can find his podcast on all social media sites and listen to the episode at braintrustbros.com. You can also leave us both reviews on iTunes because it's super duper important. Thanks so much for letting me interrupt your Zen moment. Now back to the episode. Right. Even my dad the other day, he's very old fashioned, but the fact that he's my father and it's my generation, you know, like, this is still occurring. He said to me, Oh, yeah, don't worry. Like, you're stressed out about work now. You can have a career shift in 10 years. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And he was like, you might want to just stay home with your children. And I was like, fuck you. My husband can stay home with my children. I'm extremely passionate and driven, and I won't have any children if I don't have my goals accomplished yet. Like, don't say that shit to me.
Right, exactly.
There are a lot of, unfortunately, people who were raised by parents like that who didn't really change their mind. You know, I'm sure you have the same thing that I have on my Facebook news feed, which is half the people I went to high school with who are married or about to be married and have children, and all of that is fine. Like, that you do you, not gonna judge at all. But the thing that bothers me is when they come back and they judge you for not wanting to get married or have children right away or have, you know, a 7-year relationship with your high school sweetheart. So what I want to know is if you lost any or have disconnected with any female friends since you started this.
There was one person recently that I kind of disconnected with because they became very caught up in their relationship. And that's fine. Like, I think all the power to you. Like, whatever floats your boat. Like, I'm really an easygoing, open-minded person. I think whatever you want to do, like, you do you. But don't judge me for what I do. And if I honestly feel that I'm judged, I have no problem just, like, cutting people out of my life. And I know that that sounds harsh and it sounds really cruel and kind of callous, but the truth is that I have certain goals that I want to accomplish and I have things that I really want to do with my life. And if you are not going to be supportive or conducive to me achieving those goals, it has nothing to do with whether I like you or not. But if you're not going to help me get to where I'm going and I can't help you get to where you're going, there's really no point in a friendship. What is a friendship made out of? It's made out of common ground, trust, common interest. If we don't have those things, then we're really not friends.
And you know what? I say this to people all the time because I am the number one person to cut people out of my life. I do not hold a grudge. I'm just like, see ya. And I say, there's 7 fucking billion people on this planet. Why do I have to collect every single one that I've ever had an encounter with and group them together and never let go? I might go to the grocery store, and if there's one apple that I didn't eat and it's sitting in my fridge, am I just gonna keep it because I paid for it? No. When that shit gets rotten, you get rid of it. And that's how I feel about friends. You know, like if somebody does not support your dreams, they're only holding you back and they're a reflection of a past you. You have somebody who's in your life who was a bad influence from before you recovered. You do not need them. You actually need to get them out of your life because that's the only way for you to fully move on and be the best version of yourself. When I get super jazzed up about something, I end up like, where do you hope this goes in the future as far as your bodybuilding goes? And we'll talk about your personal training in a second, but do you see all the Netflix documentaries and be like, I want to be the strongest man in the world, you know, that kind of stuff?
You know what? I don't. I have goals. I do want to go pro. I'm gonna compete at nationals this year. In the end of June is Team Universe. So I want to go pro. I mean, whether it's this year or it's next year or it's in 5 years from now, I don't really know. But that's, you know, the end goal is to be to win my IFBB Pro Bikini competitor card and to compete at the top level.
What do you have to physically be like to compete in one of those competitions?
That's one thing that I do like about bikini is that it's very specific to the individual. There's like the categories are broken down by height, so there's no like you will have to be between this weight and that weight and have this. It doesn't matter. Like, it's whatever that your body can sustain and what is going to look good on you and what the judges are looking for, which is just like overall muscle symmetry. You know, they like to have a big round booty. They like slim thighs. They like a smaller waist, which are all things like there's different things that you can do to manipulate that. But there really is no like one size it's got to be, which is what I like about it.
Do you have any like tips or routines that you do not fitness related that help you stay in the right mindset? Like, I come home and I like to immediately put on my PJs and wear comfy slippers, and I put like a aromatherapy diffuser next to my bed and a salt lamp, you know, and I like veg out for at least an hour every single night. Is there anything that you do like that to keep your mental health in check?
Oh, yeah. I'm an early bird. If you follow my Instagram, you will find that out very quickly. So I wake up at 4:15 every morning, weekend, weekday, doesn't matter. And I get up and I pray. I spend 5 or 10 minutes, like not too long, just praying, you know, focusing on like what I'm going to do for the day. I write down some what I'm grateful for. I write down some goals for the day. And then I pick out a Bible verse that speaks to me every day. That way I'm connected and I get in that unselfish spiritual mindset, because when shit gets tough, you know, I need a power that's greater than me. And that power for me comes from God. So every morning I take the time to connect with God, to get right with God before I even leave my kitchen. And then throughout the day, I take a little bit of time to reconnect, you know, once or twice a day, if not more. I take the time to reconnect with God, say a little prayer or whatever it might be. And then at the end of the day, I just say thank you for another day. And that's really what the things that I do that help me get through each and every day. I was raised Catholic. I went to church every Sunday, but I didn't believe in God. He was like totally indifferent to me. I went because my mom made me go. And it wasn't until I got into recovery that God actually had meaning and value in my life, and that I chose to seek him out. For me, it has absolutely nothing to do with religion. I go to church from time to time just because I like to go every now and then. But it's really not about religion. Like, the word religion can go right out the window for me. I could care less. You can say that it's Judaism, Buddhism, whatever. For me, it's about having that personal one-to-one relationship with God. For me, it's a good way to navigate. I mean, I did grow up with it, so it's something that I was accustomed to, but by no means would I say, like, I'm religious in, like, the strict sense. I welcome all kinds of religions. If you practice something and it works for you, I think that that's amazing. I love to hear about other people's opinions and other people's experiences, because there's always something that you can learn from somebody else.
I kind of feel like lifting is very spiritual, as crazy as that might sound. You know, to me, it's like you're at your limit. You're pushing yourself to the furthest extent and then some, because you're stretching what your body can do. Your body is your temple, and you are sitting down for 2 hours or 4 hours or however long you spend at the gym, and you're really meeting your fucking maker. So, you know,
For sure.
I think that there is some kind of ties there between religion and weightlifting or any kind of athletic training.
Yeah, I definitely think there is. I mean, if I'm doing a really heavy set, I pray. I really do. I pray. I'm like, Jesus, please help me get this last one in. You know, and I really do. I find strength in that. I agree. I do think that they go hand in hand.
For your personal training, how do you know and how do you evaluate somebody's body while you're really first meeting them for the first time? How do you know what works for them? How do you know what limit to push them to and what's not too far and what's far enough?
Well, you really don't. I mean, the first time you meet somebody, I just give them like a quick evaluation. I kind of have some forms that I have to fill out just so I know where they're at, if they have any health problems or medical conditions or medications that I should be aware of. You know, from there, I take them through like an easy workout and I let them know, I'm like, hey, this is not going to be the norm. This is going to be easier, just so I can get an idea of, you know, really physically where they are, because somebody's perception of where they are is usually a lot different than reality. You know, it's really just to get an understanding of their strengths, their weaknesses, and what they want, you know, what their goals are, because what I think their goals might not be what they really want. As sessions progress, you know, we can increase weight, decrease weight, change up the training style. I follow the path of the client, really, because ultimately I'm service to them. You know, I've learned to follow what it is that they want. And then I go home and I have to do my research and like, how can I better help them get here if they want to run a marathon? You know, what's good training for a marathon? Because I don't run marathons.
Right.
You know,
so that's what I was just going to ask is like, do they assume that you're going to turn them into a bodybuilder.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, I've had people, you know, ask, you know, am I going to have to, like, gain all this muscle? Like, no, you don't. If you want to, I'll help you get there. But if you don't want to, then that's cool, too. You know, I'll help you get wherever you want to go.
Okay, so let's talk about food, because I'm sure you have some input on nutrition. And you're not a nutritionist, so let's disclaimer right there. But if somebody is working out, what is, like, the number one mistake you see and the number one thing you want people to know about diet?
Yeah, so I am not a nutritionist, straight up, but I've had a lot of experience with nutrition in the sense that I do kind of know what I'm doing. As far as nutrition goes, I think always follow the basics. I see people try all these weird, crazy-ass diets. Let's be keto, let's do paleo, I want to do low carb, I want to do no fat. And it's really not the healthy way to do it. If you're really serious about your nutrition and your diet, get with a nutritionist, get with a dietitian, get with somebody who knows what they're talking about. Because it's really hard to find good, accurate, valid information online. That being said, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does exist, but it's hard to get the right stuff. If you really want to take it seriously, get with somebody who has, if not a formal education, at least experience with it, and try something. And if it doesn't work for you, try something else, because everybody is different. What works for somebody else is not guaranteed to work for you. You really have to experiment and be open-minded when it comes to food and diet.
Okay, so we're going to do all of your social media handles or your websites or blogs, whatever information you want to provide to give to people to follow you. Now is the time, but I also want to include, if you have any thoughts that you didn't touch upon or words of inspiration for anybody, please do so now, but no pressure. That's why I give the social media thing at the same time, okay, in case you don't have anything to say.
No, that's good. Definitely follow my social media. I'm at Meg, M-E-G, Wambold, W-A-M-B-O-L-D-T. And if there are any words of inspiration or anything that I could, you know, hand off to anybody else, it is find the thing that sets your soul on fire and fucking go after it. Just go after whatever that thing is that you love and that you're passionate about, and you will find the right people along the way to take that journey with you.
Comparing your body to someone else's and expecting to get the same results is like comparing your DNA and expecting to find the exact same sequences. Yes, there may be similarities and things that are applicable to both, but you cannot expect identical results without also welcoming disappointment. Sometimes life throws a hard-fought battle at you before you are able to see the truth. But for Megan, that has put her in the unique position to now help others with her knowledge. Not everyone wants to or should be a bodybuilder, but there are some key lessons here to learn. 1, do not ever think you are too far gone to get help, whatever you may need help with. 2, you are worthy of love, affection, and admiration for who you are, exactly as you are. 3, you may not be where you want to be yet, but you must love yourself first and believe in yourself to get there. And 4, women are fucking spectacular creatures who continue to defy the odds. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Mike Tedesco for our theme song. Thanks to Annalena Illustrations for the portrait of me and our logo. And a big thanks of Megan Wambolt for participating in this week's episode. You can follow Megan on Instagram, and while you're there, follow us too. Keep it locked to our page because we will be doing a giveaway when we hit 1,000 followers, and y'all, we are so close. There are a lot of amazing guests who have been on the show participating in this giveaway, so be sure to tell your friends to follow the account, subscribe to Supernormal on any of the podcast apps, and leave a review while you're there. It helps get the word out, and I'd love to hear what you think. We also have new merch in our Supernormal store at supernormal.threadless.com. More designs will be coming out, so stay tuned. And don't forget, stay normal. Supernormal.